Bibles, please. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. When you found your place, if you'll stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there, last Sunday I dealt a whole lot with that place called there. There, here's another there at Calvary, and there is the only place that you can find real help. There they crucified him, and the malefactors, one of them on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We're going to stop reading there for this morning. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us here for a few moments, share the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you today, Lord, for what you already have done in hearts and for the blessing of being in the house of God. We give you praise and glory and honor. And Father, we thank you that you said in thy word, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Lord, we're glad for the privilege we have come to an old-fashioned altar and pray and talk to you. I pray today there'll be others that will come. I pray there'll be others that'll find help and find strength and find forgiveness in an old-fashioned altar. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you do. I stand here today knowing I need you to help me. I pray for that divine touch, that anointing of God be upon us to preach. And I pray, Father, the word of God go forth, lodge in hearts, and convict where it's needed, encourage where it's needed. I pray that you'll have your way in every heart and every life of every individual in this house. Magnify thine own self, and we praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Began reading about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and there's more verses there concerning Jesus, which we'll not try to get into this morning, but I read over in Galatians where Paul said, God forbid that I glory save in the cross. And I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary. I'm glad for that place there. They crucified him for us, and I'm thankful for that. These three men dying there at Calvary had some things in common. They were all nailed to a cross. They were all dying physically, and they were all stripped of their clothing. They were all put up there in shame. They were all in that condemnation of man, but they died differently concerning sin. One died in his sin. That's the one we're going to deal with today. One died for our sin, and one died in sin, or to sin. And the one we're dealing with today died in his sin. And then the other one died to sin. But I'm glad the middle cross, the one that died for our sin, I praise God and thank God for the reality of that one. Because without that one, the third one would never have been. This first one, we'd all been in his condition had it not been for the one on the middle cross. And this one was condemned and dying. I guess if you wanted to outline it in alliterative, sinner, savior, and the saint. And they died. But we're dealing with this first one, a rejecter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who reject him and say no to him. I pray today that in this house, those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, this may be the day and the time that you realize your condition. And I pray that it'll be a reminder to all of us that are saved of our condition before we got saved. How good God has been to us in redeeming us by his blood. I'm thankful today those that came earlier in the service to the altar and bowed and prayed. I'm thankful that they had that opportunity to do so because they are saved by the grace of God. And God bids us come boldly from the grace, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. I'm glad, praise God, God can help us and encourage us physically, spiritually, emotionally. I'm glad he's our help if we'd only let him help us like we should. And today I pray God will do that to our hearts and our life. Let's look at verse number 39 again. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." I want to start out by saying, I'll give you three things today about this man. First of all, he was in rebellion. He was rebellious. And you say, "Preacher, I've never been in rebellion." Oh, but I beg to differ with you. Rebellion is resisting any kind of authority that you have in your life. And when you resist that authority, you're in rebellion against God. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, after Saul had rebelled and moved into a place where God had not put him, waiting on Samuel, he got impatient and thought he'd do it his way. And he rebelled against God. And God said in verse 23, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And witchcraft, as we know, is of the devil. And rebellion is a sin of as witchcraft is. We think about witchcraft and we'd say ungodly, ungodly, and you'd be absolutely right, ungodly. But I tell you today, rebellion is just as bad. That's what God said, rebellion. I read a little article here a while, just a little bit ago, in fact, and it's talking about a newspaper in a small town. And said the editor of that newspaper had one week he had a little room left in the paper and he didn't know what to put in it. And so he decided he'd just put the Ten Commandments in there. And so he put the Ten Commandments, no comment, no editorial, just the Ten Commandments. And said the next week he got a letter, a phone call, I don't remember which it was. And one of the subscribers said, "Drop me off your subscription to the paper because you're getting too personal." The Ten Commandments was too personal. I wonder what has been committing adultery or coveting or stealing or what it was he's guilty of, but he's getting too personal. And when we think God's getting too personal in our life, we'll either repent or rebel. And we do one or the other. And I'd rather repent than rebel against the holy God. But man rebels against God and goes his own way. And I say to you today, may God help us to realize how bad rebellion really is. Fact is, let me park here a few minutes and talk about rebellion. And because if we really realize where it starts and then do something about it then, it'll sure help down the road. I'll tell you where rebellion starts in the home. Rebellion starts in the home. And yesterday in that wedding, we tried to say some things about the wedding. And a gentleman came to me after the wedding and said, "You know what? If we just believe the Bible and act on it and obey it, it'd solve a whole lot of problems, solve all our problems." I said, "Amen, you're right, sir." And because obedience to the word of God, everybody in their place, wife, husband, everybody in their place, wife being what she should be, husband being what he should be, that'd solve a whole lot of rebellion in the home. Amen. But let me go past that in children. Children rebel. And when your child, by the way, when you tell your child do something and they don't do it, and they'll look at you and dare you to say anything about it. They don't even not say that. That's what they do. They go right back to doing it. They're rebelling against authority in their life. And at rebellion, in fact is, if you read Proverbs chapter 22 and Proverbs chapter 23, you'll find a whole lot said about raising children. Has a whole lot to say about correcting children. And it didn't say anything about time out. Didn't say anything about counting to three. Didn't say anything about any of that. It said correct them. Fact is, he said beat them. I know today that tired of some people all to pieces. The liberals jump up and down and turn flips and say, you can't preach like that. I'm just preaching you Bible. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. Amen. I don't believe in mistreating a child. I don't believe you ought to hurt a child physically, deliberately do that. But I believe God made a place and padded it so you could wire it out. Amen. Well, I don't want to whip my children. Well, you better whip your children and correct them and teach them right from wrong and teach them to obey authority. If they don't learn to obey authority in the home, they won't obey authority anywhere else. Amen. They want to obey authority at the school. They want to obey authority at the church. They want to obey authority of the land, law of the land. Rebellion. This man undoubtedly started rebelling a long time ago. While he was a child, he probably rebelled about going to the synagogue. He probably rebelled about his parents telling him what to do, not to do, and talk back to them and all that kind of stuff. I seen a few places in a grocery store where I'd like to walked up and took a hand in helping that parent tell what to do with that child. I'm not a violent man, but I can tell you right now, I believe in correcting children, amen. And you raise them that way and do your best with them, and they won't turn out perfect because none of us are perfect, but it'll sure help them move in the right direction. It'll sure help them, amen. And if you spare the rod, then God said when you don't spare the rod, in fact is you'll help them and keep them out of hell. You know why a lot of people don't have any respect for God and they rebel against God? Because they've never been taught any respect for authority in their life. And so when it comes to God's authority, and that's the ultimate rebellion, is against God's authority. And that person got upset about the Ten Commandments. What he was saying was, I'm rebelling against God's word, and those Ten Commandments I don't like because they get down where I live, and I don't like it. I'm going to rebel against it and quit taking your paper. I say, how sad, how sad. But God, help us today to realize the sin of rebellion and what it really is. I pray this man, he sure got in the sin of rebellion. Let me say number two, he railed on the Lord Jesus. Railed on the Lord Jesus. Look with me in that verse 39 again. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now railing means to complain bitterly. Complain bitterly. He was railing on Jesus. He wasn't asking him to help him, and he was asking for help, but in the wrong kind of way. Like the other thief hanging there, he asked for help in the right kind of way, but this man was railing, complaining, and making fun, really throwing it at Jesus and saying, if you be the Son of God. Pride, stubbornness, rebellion, all included in this. And I want to show you something here. If you look at this, please, a doubt. He said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. If thou be the Christ. But look in verse number 35. And the people stood before holding, and the rulers also with them derided him. That word derided can go right along with railing, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And so the religious leaders, the rulers of that day, they railed on him. They derided him. They said, if, and that word if don't work in getting right with God. And then if you'll notice verse number 37, here's the soldiers. They were mocking him and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And here's the man that rejected the Lord Jesus. And he's saying, if you be Christ,
Save yourself and us. And so that word if is a little word, but it sure makes a big difference. And you don't come to God to get saved saying if there be a God. You never come to God until you realize there is a God, until you realize that you are a sinner, until you realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You'll never come to get saved. You may come and make some kind of a profession, but you won't get saved because God doesn't deal in ifs. You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I say today, thank God that the reality to really believe and step on faith, and faith is taking God at his word and believing that and acting upon it. And not if, but there is God. Hallelujah. And there, not if there is a hell, there is a hell. Not if there is a heaven, there is a heaven. And I say to you today, God, help us realize the reality and the truth, and don't rail on Jesus. And don't talk in ifs and maybes and mights. But God is, and God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I say praise God and the Lord forever. See, here's what he was wanting. He was wanting physical help. Hey, some people now, these people that came to the altar this morning, I know every one of them that came. And I know their lives. I know just about what they were doing when they were coming praying and what they were praying about. Not all together, but pretty much so. I know they know God. I know they came for some burden or giving God thanks or whatever the situation may have been in their life. But some people, they'll come to God when they're in trouble. And as soon as the trouble's over with, you can't find them with a search warrant. Amen. But you get them getting trouble, they'll come. And you let something happen, and they'll come then. And that's what this man wanted. They just wanted Jesus to help them right then. Some people use Jesus like a spare tire. If I have a flat, I need to put him on. If I get it fixed, then I'll just go on my way. And that's how it is. But I'm glad, praise God, he's more than a spare tire. He's more than just somebody to run to when you think you need some help. He's good when it's still going good. He's good when it's going bad. He's good in all between time. I say to you today, God's good, hallelujah, all the time. I'm glad, praise God, he is good all the time. And I rejoice in his love and his goodness to us. Well, let me thirdly talk about retribution. Retribution. Here's that man in rebellion. He's in railing on Jesus. But look at verse number 40. But the other angel rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" He said, "Don't you fear God, knowing you're in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss." He said, "We're getting exactly what we deserve." Somebody said, "Preacher, I just want justice." I tell you right now, you better change that thought. Because if you got justice, you burn in hell. I'm glad, praise God, I got grace and mercy. Amen. Mercy keeps me out of hell. Grace takes me to heaven. And I'm thankful I didn't get justice or I'd be probably burning in hell today. But I'm glad, praise God, there's something better in grace and mercy. I'm glad I'm justified in Christ Jesus. And this man was saying, "We're getting what we deserve. We deserve this. We're guilty." And I want to say to you today, if you're unsaved, you're lost without God, you someday retribution will come and you will get what you deserve. And Numbers 32:23 said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And fact is, let me take that a little step further and use it. Not only unsaved will find that sin will find you out, and someday you'll have to face a holy God. But like Brother Taylor, boy, what a great testimony he gave this morning. And what he was saying was, as a saved person, I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. And he said when he went in that place, what God did to him, and he realized it was wrong, a great testimony, amen. And I guarantee you, if you ever really get saved and you mess up, God will correct his children. Those he loves, he chastens. Amen. Scourges every son. I'm glad it does. He takes me to the back bedroom every once in a while, wires me out, lets me know I'm his, and straightens me. I say glory to God. I'm glad I know what the chastening of God is. That makes me let me know I'm his child. He loves me enough to try. He's not only trying, he's keeping me going in the right direction. I say praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. And so retribution in Galatians 6, I believe about verse number 7, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. You sow the spirit, spiritual, and you shall reap spiritual. I'm glad, praise God, we can sow spiritually, amen, and reap spiritually. Or we can sow the flesh and reap corruption. One or the other will do. Well, how are you today? And what when you meet God and you have to face God, how's it going to be? How's it going to be with you? You today, are you saved? Do you really know you're saved? Praise God if you do. If you don't, I pray today be the day. You say, preacher, I don't know. Today's a good day to make it sure. And if you know you're not saved, a good day just to come and acknowledge to God, I'm not saved. I need Jesus. Then if you are saved, it's a good day to let God speak to your heart. If there's something in your life God's working on, God's dealing with. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have today to open the Word of God and try to share truths from thy Word. Lord, here's a man that died in his sin and went to hell when he could have been saved. Crucified right beside the Savior, yet rejected. Like Judas Iscariot, kissed the door of heaven, went to hell. Lord, I pray today in this house people realize the truth of being born into the family of God. I pray the Holy Ghost would do a work, speak into hearts, and then help those who are saved, all of us. Lord, that we'll see ourselves. Maybe an area that you're working in our hearts that we need to do something about. I pray today in this invitation, whatever the need is, that you'll work in hearts, the people respond. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.